You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to Gen Z, young men, how to grow and mature in your faith. We're going to start a new series today about dating to the glory of God. I've been getting a lot of comments from some of you who've been listening to the show. Thanks so much for reaching out. You're more than welcome to reach out and make comments about topics you would like to be discussed. And obviously, one of the tip-top topics that people want to hear is about dating. So we want to talk about it. We're going to take four shows and talk about dating to the glory of God. And what I want to do is give you young men and Gen Z, I want to give you 10 ways to date to the glory of God. And so as we talk about this, I just want to kind of weave in a little bit of my own testimony, weave in a little bit about how I met my wife, Lisa, and just share with you principles from the scripture. Because, you know, when you talk about dating, people have strong feelings about it. You have different models about dating. Some people call it dating, courtship. You know, some people say you shouldn't date, you should just get married. There's all kinds of different thoughts, again, about different churches, different cultures from different churches. And I'm just kind of saying, I don't really care so much about what word you use. You know, if you want to use the word courting, I don't mind, you know, just define what you mean by that. In some contexts, courting is the idea of like we're practically engaged, and so we have to treat it like marriage. And I'm kind of just saying, like, somewhere in there, you need to be able to say, hey, can we just kind of go out and talk and kind of work through a little bit of learning about each other before we commit to anything serious? And so those are kind of some of the things I'm going to talk about during our four-part series together, different principles, different concepts, different ways to wisely think through this issue. I'm just going to refer to it as dating. That's kind of how I grew up. That's what I've used in teaching on this topic in the past. So I'm just going to use that as what we're describing, a relationship between a young man and a young woman who are interested in getting married. And that's really key, that we want it to be a young man and a young woman, and there needs to be some type of interest to get married. So here we go. 10 ways to date to the glory of God. Number one, am I dating a growing Christian? Now, when I was growing up, it was kind of like, you can't date till you turn 16. And the whole idea in Christian culture, at least where I was in the great state of Georgia, was my mom and dad said, hey, Adam, you can't date until you turn 16. And when you turn 16 and you get your license, then you can finally go on your first date. And so that's pretty much what I did. I turned 16, I got my license, and then there was like a homecoming dance that was coming up, and that was going to be my first date, to ask a girl to the homecoming dance, to go to her house, not with my parents this time, but by myself, you know, in my own vehicle. I was driving a Dodge Ram pickup truck. Come on. And I went over to her house to pick her up and take her to the homecoming dance. And that was my first date. And throughout high school, for the rest of that sophomore year and junior year and senior year of high school, I went on a lot of dates, you know, and they were mostly casual. Many of them were centered around things like different events at school, like the prom. But sometimes we would go on dates. And one of the things that I was not necessarily thinking about was, is this girl a growing Christian? Now, in my mind, I wanted to know, is she a Christian? Because of some principles we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But I think she also needs to be a growing Christian, not just someone who says they're a Christian, but someone who's actually growing in their faith. And so let me just tell you a little bit about how I met my wife, Lisa. I was, I told you a little bit about dating in high school. It was more, I would call it puppy love, just kind of kicking the tires. I would call it, it was really nothing too serious, but I did go out with different girls, as I just mentioned. And then I went on this tour with a group called the Continental Singers. And our tour was going to go through 25 different states and into Europe to 5 different countries. And while I was on tour with the Continental Singers, we were told by our director, no dating. You can't date while you're on tour. And so if you're interested in someone on this tour, you can date when the tour's over because the tour was going to last all summer. But if you're dating on the tour, we're going to send you home because we can't have any relationships on the tour. So I was like, okay, that's fine. So, you know, there's maybe a girl or two that I thought might be interesting on tour, but you can't date. So nothing happened. And then when I got home, I thought, you know what? That's a great philosophy to have through all of life. Why just date from girl to girl to girl if it's going to distract you? Because being on that tour, they said, hey, dating is going to distract you from our mission. Our mission is to sing songs and do choreography and to be a witness for Christ and to try to, try to focus on the gospel. And if guys and girls are dating and breaking up while we're on the tour bus going through these 25 states, then you guys are going to be a huge distraction to the gospel. So you can't do it. And that's what I wanted to adopt in my life. When I got home, I'm like, why would I just go out with different girls? And so I decided not to date. And so I might have gone on a couple of formal occasions here and there through those 10 years, you know, like a plus one to a wedding, or there might be some formal function at a banquet or something like that. But I didn't really date for 10 years. So I was age 18 when I went on kind of my last high school date. Then I decided not to be in a dating relationship until I was really ready to get married. And that didn't happen for me for about 10 years. Okay. So I was 28 years old. I had been working as a physician's assistant in open heart surgery in Savannah, Georgia. And then I was called into the ministry. God gave me a strong desire to preach the word and to shepherd the flock. And so I resigned from my job, came out to the Master's Seminary located in Los Angeles. And so while I was at the Master's Seminary, I was studying the word. I wasn't here to chase girls in Hollywood. And I wasn't here to chase girls at Grace Community Church, but I was at Grace Community Church in a college ministry called Crossroads that hosted about 800 to 1,000 college students. So you couldn't help but think, here's some young ladies here that might be of interest. And yet at the same time, I didn't want to be that guy who came out to seminary and I start going out with all these other girls from girl to girl to girl. And that would just be a bad thing, right? That would be giving you a bad reputation for one, but it would also potentially be a distraction. So I just kind of came out thinking, I'm here to study the word. I'm here to be a pastor. I'm here to be a man of God. I want to know what the scripture says. And so kind of for the first year of seminary, I kept my head down. I focused on Christ and scripture. And then I became an intern with that college ministry. And the college pastor, his name was Rick Holland. And Rick asked me in year two of seminary, he's like, Adam, what are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? What am I doing? And he's like, Adam, you're here in the land of feasting for young men to get married to young women. What are you waiting on? And I'm like, Rick, I'm here to study the word. I'm here to be a pastor. You know, God will provide her in his time. And he's like, yeah, but you also got to be strategic. You know, you got to ask somebody out. Aren't you interested in somebody? And I'm like, well, actually, there's this one girl that I've kind of noticed, and I'm thinking about maybe trying to get to know her better. And he's like, well, you should ask her out. Well, lo and behold, like the next week, there was this social function at the church for our Crossroads College ministry called Dinner and a Movie. And Dinner and a Movie was all about just coming with a date if you want. Some of the Bible studies were showing videos, and then we were going to get together and vote on which video, you know, like skit put to video was the best. And so I decided to just go with my Bible study. I was leading a Bible study at CSUN, and at halftime, during the intermission of this Dinner and a Movie, I walk over to my friend, Jeremiah. And I said, hey, Jeremiah, how you doing? He was a fellow seminary student. And he said, I'm doing good. And I'm like, did you bring a date? And he said, yes, I did. And I said, well, who did you bring? And he said, I brought Lisa Seehusen. And I said, who is that? And he's like, oh, she's this young girl that just graduated from Master's University, and she's here in our college ministry. I think if you saw her, you might recognize her. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. He said, did you bring a date? And I said, no, I'm just here with my friends. We just all came, you know, with our whole Bible study. And then the light started to dim. And I walked back over to the table where I was just kind of hanging out with our Bible study. And then I'm watching Jeremiah to see where he's going to go sit down because I want to see who his date is. And then lo and behold, he's sitting next to that girl, the one I told you I started to have some interest in. He's sitting next to Lisa. And I thought, oh man, that's the girl I was going to ask out. But you know how it is, guys. If you snooze, you lose. So I had waited too long. And now this other seminary guy had swept in and asked her out. And so as soon as the event ended, I walk right back up to my friend Jeremiah. And I'm like, hey, Jeremiah, good to see you again tonight. And then I look at Lisa and I said, well, hello, what's your name? And I started putting the riz on Lisa. I know I shouldn't have probably been doing that with my seminary buddy's date, but in God's providence, some guy came up to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I have a deep theological question to ask you. And so they kind of stepped to the side. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And I just start asking Lisa questions like, hey, tell me a little bit about where you're from and what's going on right now in your life. I heard you just graduated and what are your plans? And we start kind of talking, but I'm feeling kind of bad. Like there's some chemistry going in this conversation. And then Jeremiah, my friend, comes right back up and he's like, kind of looking at us funny. And I'm like, you guys have a good night, Jeremiah. It's good to see you again. Lisa, call me. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say call me, but it kind of felt like that. It kind of felt like we were in the middle of a conversation and the conversation wanted to continue, but it couldn't because Jeremiah came back over. And so they leave. And I stay to clean up, and I'm just thinking, oh man, why does this always happen to me? I'm an intern at this church. All the good girls start dating other guys, and here I am single again. Well, don't go away, because when we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how I met my wife.
Hey, we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. Man, this subject right here is probably one that doesn't get talked about near enough. Dating is something, especially for the Christian, you feel like you're just stepping out into the fog with a blindfold on. And everybody's got their opinions, but none offer real, genuine clarity. So I appreciate what he's doing here. He's not giving you a list of do's and don'ts. He's giving you a mindset, how to think biblically about a relationship that could shape and change the rest of your life. I really appreciate that, because if you're a young man right now trying to follow Christ, trying to do it differently than what the world tells you, that is commendable, young man. Don't let the culture set the tone for how you pursue a woman. Don't let Hollywood or TikTok teach you what love is. Start with character, start with conviction, and let dating be something that honors God, not just something that gets you a date. That's what this show, that's what Way of Manhood is all about. And it's just part of a bigger picture here at Fortis Institute. If you haven't jumped into the Fortis Plus app yet, you're missing the full picture. Daily content, biblical counsel, news, worldview, theology, all in one place. And here's the best part. It is absolutely free. It's real. It's free. And it's for you. You can download it right now from the same place you download all of the apps onto your mobile device, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And hey, if you're asking, where do I go if I want more than just a podcast? That's a genuine question. If you want to study this stuff, if you want to live it and lead with it, let me recommend the Masters University. They're training the next generation of men who actually know their Bibles and aren't afraid to stand on truth. Dr. Tyson himself is a professor at the Masters University, training up the next generation of young men. In a culture full of noise, TMU is helping young men walk with clarity and conviction. Just visit masters.edu/manhood right now to find out more. And before we get back to Dr. Tyson, gotta mention this real quick. If you find his teaching or any of the teaching from Fortis Institute helpful, if you feel like that you've been given something solid to grab a hold of, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner and help us provide this content to others? Your support fuels podcasts just like this and make it possible for more men to hear real talk that's rooted in real biblical truth. You can learn more about what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host,
all right,
Dr.
Well, welcome
Adam
back to
Tyson.
Way of Manhood, where we're going to do a series on dating. 10 ways to date to the glory of God. And number one is, am I dating a growing Christian? Not just are you dating somebody who says they're a Christian, but are they really growing in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ? And so I was telling you how I met my wife, Lisa. She was there at this social function at our church with another guy, a friend of mine, by the name of Jeremiah. And so I needed to just kind of cool off and to let them go. So they left the event and I'm cleaning up. You know, it's late at night. I'm sweeping the floor in the gym. There's like one light bulb on and I'm like all depressed. You know, I'm like, oh man, why does this always happen to me? All the other good looking girls who seem to be, you know, great potential wives are always go out with the other guy. And here I am by myself again. And so I decided to do a little reconnaissance. And so the next day I go up to a friend named Karen and I said, hey, Karen, you know, I was there last night at dinner and a movie and I wanted to ask you a question about this girl I met. Her name is Lisa. And she's like, yes, what is your question? And I said, well, she seemed to be a nice girl, but she was there with Jeremiah last night. And Karen said, oh, she don't like Jeremiah. I said, well, how do you know that? And Karen said, well, Adam, I'm a girl. Trust me, I know these things. And I'm like, well, what do you know about it? And she said, well, Lisa was just going with Jeremiah as a friend. You know, Lisa's in my Bible study. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me a little bit about her. Like, is she just some ditzy girl who showed up at the Master's University? Or is she a mature Christian who actually loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, you know, I knew Karen for a while. She was a mature, older lady, a strong believer. So I truly trusted her input here. And she said, Adam, Lisa's like the perfect girl for you. I mean, this girl is full of Christ. This girl is full of joy. This girl walks the walk. She doesn't just talk the talk. This girl disciples girls in our Bible study. They were in a different Bible study than the one that I led. And I just have admired her and enjoy seeing her grow. She just went on a mission trip to Uganda. And you should definitely reach out to her and get to know her a little better. And I'm like, okay, all right, that sounds good. And so I'm thinking about it, you know, and I go to work the next day. I was actually working also as a physician's assistant in family practice and in Thousand Oaks, California. And so I go to the office for work Monday morning and the girls in the office said, well, how was your social event at church on Saturday? You know, because I told them we had like this dinner and a movie thing. And these girls at work, they were trying to set me up all the time with non-believers. And they were always like, oh, we got this girl and we got this girl. And I think you guys would make a good pair. And I'm like, are they a Christian? Do they go to church? And they were like, well, I don't know about that. And I'm like, well, I'm not asking them out. You know, I'm not taking the recommendation of some unbeliever with good intentions, but no real character reference. And so I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. And so they thought something was wrong with me. And so when I told them, when they said, well, how did your event go Saturday? And I'm like, oh, it went really good. I think I met someone. And they were like, what? You met somebody? And I'm like, yeah, I met this girl. I'm pretty interested in, but you know what? She was there with a friend of mine. So I can't ask her out. And they were like, oh, it don't matter. You know, it don't matter. You found some girl you're interested in. You need to talk to her. You need to call her up. If she don't have no ring, it ain't no thing. And I'm like, oh man, this is not really good counsel coming from these girls from work. But I did start thinking about it, you know, so I'm like driving home from work. I had gotten her number, you know, should I call her? Should I not? So guess what I did? I didn't call her. I couldn't do it. It's buds over babes. You know what I'm saying, guys? I can't move in on my guy friend like that. So I did not call this girl. This is Monday, okay? The next morning, Tuesday morning, we have a discipleship meeting with our college pastor. Jeremiah leads a Bible study. I lead a Bible study. So we show up to this meeting that we have every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. And I go up to Jeremiah and I say, hey, Jeremiah, did you have a good time on Saturday night? And he said, I had a great time. And I'm like, oh man, you did? And he's like, yeah, dude, I had a really good time. And I'm like, are you going to ask her out again? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, why not? If you had a great time, why wouldn't you ask her out again? And he said, because she's just not interested in dating right now. Apparently, Lisa had made it clear to him that they were just going as friends. And when he had kind of asked a little bit more about her, she was just like, yeah, I'm just trying to pursue the Lord. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm not ready for a relationship right now. I think that was kind of like, hint, hint, I don't want to date you. And so he's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to ask her out again. And so I put my arm around Jeremiah and I'm like, oh, brother, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm like, God's got somebody for you. There are more fish in the sea. I know he does. God's got somebody for you. And I kind of had him in a headlock. And then I looked at him and I said, hey, man, you mind if I ask her out? And he's like, what? And I said, well, you just said you're not going to ask her out. You mind if I ask her out? And he's like, yeah, man, just go for it. You know, I don't think she's interested in dating. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to ask her out. And so, you know, I got his permission. So it was Tuesday morning. So Tuesday night, I'm thinking about it and I've been studying for seminary. And I'm like, I'm going to take a break and I'm calling this girl. So I call Lisa that Tuesday night and it clicks right over to her voicemail. And she said, hey, this is Lisa. Leave a message. And I said, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians 6:14. Hey, Lisa, this is Adam. I just thought I would give you a call. I enjoyed getting your number. I mean, come on, guys. I'm a seminary student. So I was excited about preaching Galatians 6:14. So I'm trying to weave that into my phone message, giving her a verse to think about. And then I just said, hey, I heard you've been to Uganda. I've been to Uganda. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your trip. You know, if you're interested, you know, in talking more about it, you know, you can call me back. Here's my number. If not, no big deal. You know, maybe I'll see you on Sunday. Hope you have a great week. Bye. And I hang up. And I start thinking like, okay, I did a pretty good job. You know, I left her an encouraging message. I gave her a scripture to meditate on. I gave her opportunity if she's interested to call me back. And then I started thinking like, oh man, how do you know, like if she likes me, she'll call me back. If she doesn't like me, she won't call me back. And then wait, I grew up in the South where my mama taught me girls don't call boys. So, you know, is it okay at this stage of life for a girl to call a boy back on a phone call? So I'm trying to think through it. And then it's like getting later. It's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10:15. I'm like, she's not going to call. It's like 10:15. I'm like, I got to clear my head and start studying for a Hebrew quiz that I had the next day. And so I finally start studying. And then all of a sudden, like 10:30, she calls. And I have her name programmed in my phone. It says, you know, Lisa Seehusen. And I'm like, oh man, she's calling right now. And I'm like, I got to act like I don't know who this is. And so I'm just like, hello? And she's like, is Adam there? And I'm like, speaking. And she's like, I was just calling you back. And I'm like, what are you doing calling so late? It's like after 10 o'clock on a school night. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, girl, I'm just playing. What's up? How you doing? What's going on? You know, I had to put her off just a little bit so she wouldn't know how excited I was that she was calling me. So I was kind of trying to play it safe. You know, what are you doing calling so late? And then just kidding, what's going on? What you been doing tonight? She's like, oh, I was just meeting with a girl for discipleship. We meet on Tuesday nights. And I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm studying for seminary. And we just start talking. And then all of a sudden, Rick Holland, the same college pastor I mentioned, calls in and he's, you know, so I tell Lisa, I'm sorry, I got to take this call from Rick. He's my boss. I got to take this call. And she said, well, tell Rick I said hello. And I'm like, okay. So I click over to Rick and I'm like, hey, Rick, what's up? And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm talking to Lisa. And he said, Lisa who? And I said, Lisa Seehusen. And he said, what are you doing talking to her? I said, Rick, I'm trying to make myself available to young ladies in our ministry who have needs. And he said, what Lisa needs is a godly husband. And I'm like, well, why do you think I'm talking to her? Do you know this girl? She told me to tell you hi. And he's like, yes, I know that girl. I used to be the youth pastor at her church. I officiated her sister's wedding. I've known Lisa since she was in the fourth grade, great family. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me about her? And he's like, dude, I just didn't think about it, man. But great girl, you should totally go for it. And so this is kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about, am I dating a growing Christian? That's important. It's not just good enough to be a Christian. They need to be someone who's growing in their faith. And so again, we're just kind of kicking off this series on what it means to date, but we're talking about one of the biggest principles is that you got to date someone who is growing in their faith. And I'm getting this really from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, where it says, don't be unequally yoked, right? You're familiar with that for sure. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And the answer to all of those is nothing. God says, come out from them and be separate because you don't have anything in common with a non-believer. And this is the key of the understanding of the first principle of Christian dating is you got to date a Christian. And in order to know if she's a Christian or not, you got to hear her testimony. And not only do you need to hear her testimony, you need to talk to other godly men and women who have a relationship with that young lady who can vouch for you whether she's serious about her faith or not. Guys, do not compromise this first principle in applying God's word to dating. Am I dating a growing Christian? Let me pray for you that you could learn to do just that. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about dating in a way that glorifies God. And I pray for every Christian young man out there right now who might be tempted to date someone who's not a Christian. God, may this principle of 2 Corinthians 6:14 burn deep in their hearts that they cannot be unequally yoked and honor you. Help them to date not just a Christian, but a growing Christian. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.